Well, thank you very much for your welcome again and for coming along this evening to what we call a gospel service. The gospel is simply the good news of the Bible, the message that is contained within the Bible, the message that comes from heaven, and the message that is intended for each and every one of us. We were singing that in some of our opening hymns, were we not? For example, the first one that John gave out said this: "Whosoever heareth, shout, shout the sound, send the blessed tidings all the world around, spread the joyful news, wherever man is found, whosoever will may come." And so the message of the Bible, what is known as the gospel message, the good news, is a message that is for you and is for me. No matter who you are, what your background, where you've come from, what you've done, the message of the Bible is for whosoever. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject, the facts you need for your biggest decision. For you see, the message of the Bible comes with a challenge and faces you with a decision, a choice that you must make. And so as you consider what the Bible brings to us, and as you consider the challenge of the gospel message, we want to think of the facts you need for your biggest decision. The people of Israel one day were faced with this choice. And one of their great leaders, a man called Joshua, was coming to the end of his life. And standing before the people, he gave them this choice: "Choose you this day whom ye will serve." Choose you this day whom ye will serve. And Joshua added, "As for me, I will serve the Lord." And that choice, that challenge that Joshua put to the people of his day, is still the challenge that the message of the Bible brings to you. Choose you this day whom you will serve. I was thinking about this over the month of September. Thursday, September the 18th, 2014. A day when the nation decided. It was decision day for Scotland. It was a day that was said that would change the course of this nation's history for at least a generation. And for many months, and certainly weeks before Thursday the 18th of September, we were bombarded with information and appeals to make our choice to say yes or to say no to the question: should Scotland be an independent country? The nation was divided. There was a difference of opinion between yes and no, but on September the 18th, the nation made a decision. One of the many pieces of information that came through our letterbox in the weeks before September the 18th was one that was entitled this: "Facts we need for our biggest decision." The facts we need for our biggest decision. It made me think of the message of the Bible. It made me think of the decision that the gospel message places before each and every one of us. A message that Paul would say is the word of the truth of the gospel. And it brings to every one of us. It brings us face to face with a decision we must make. A decision not for a nation. A decision not for the county of Fife. A decision not for a family, but a personal decision that you must make. The decision that the Bible demands that we make will not affect us for a generation. It will not only affect you for the rest of your life, but the decision you make concerning the gospel message will last for eternity. It will determine your eternal future forever and ever and ever. And so 1400 BC or thereabouts, Joshua stood before the people of his day and he said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." His predecessor, the great man Moses, he too laid before the people a choice. And he said to them, "I have set before you life and death." And he said this, "Choose life." And then in the Bible message, in the gospel message, it presents life and death. Depending on the choice that you make and the appeal of the Bible, the appeal of the preacher tonight is choose life. And so as we think of this decision, the decision that we find in the Bible, the decision that is presented to each and every one of us, we want to think of the facts that we need for our biggest decision. The facts that you need for your biggest decision. In the time available, I want to present to you three facts. There are many more, but I want to present to you three facts that you need to be aware of and you need to consider as you ponder and as you think about and as you are faced with the challenge of the gospel message, and as you think, choose you this day whom you will serve. We want to think of fact number one, man is sinful. And we're going to think of the confession of a thief. We're going to think secondly that God is love. And we'll think of the conviction of a fanatic. And then we'll think that finally, that you must decide. And we'll think of the choice of a judge. Let's start at the beginning then. The first fact I want to present to you, man is sinful. And we're going to think about the confession of a thief. If you have a Bible with you, perhaps you want to turn up and we'll read some of the verses together that tells us of the confession of a thief. As he came to realize and understand not only that man is sinful, but I am sinful. You'll find the story in Luke's Gospel and in chapter 23. Luke's Gospel and chapter 23. And as Luke comes towards the end of his Gospel, the record of the life and times of the Lord Jesus Christ, his record of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, he comes to the climax. He comes to high water mark. He comes to the cross when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gave his life for the sin of the world. We're going to break into the story first of all at verse 32. out where we are out with the city wall of Jerusalem, at a place called Golgotha, place of a skull. Or here in Luke's Gospel, in the Greek, Calvary. At verse 32 we read, and there were also two other malefactors or criminals. One of the other Gospels tells us that they were thieves, led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The facts you need for your greatest decision, your biggest decision. Fact number one, man is sinful. And we're going to look at the confession of a thief. And the thief said on the cross, as he was being executed for crimes he had committed, we receive the due reward of our deeds. Words spoken by a dying man, a condemned man, a man being executed, as we've said, for crimes he had committed. And as he considered his life, he confessed, I am guilty. He confessed, I am a sinful man. The punishment being meted out to me is fair and just. We receive the due rewards of our deeds. And this first fact, a dying thief came to realize and understand, I am sinful. But you know, that fact is not only relevant to a thief being executed for crimes committed. And it is more than the thief dying on the cross who needs to consider and needs to think about this fact, that man is sinful. Every one of us, whoever we are, whatever we've done, whatever our background, need to consider our lives. And as we think upon our lives, and as we think of what we have done and what we have said and what we have thought and the motives behind our actions and things that we ought to have done but haven't done, as we consider our lives in the light of the commandment and standard of the God of heaven, we need to come to the realization of this first fact. Man is sinful. But more than that, to understand and to realize that I am sinful. Earlier in Luke's Gospel, we read about a rebellious son. He left home And in a far country he squandered his wealth on what the Bible describes as riotous living. But it comes to the point in the story, and you'll read it in Luke chapter 15, where it says he came to himself. He came to himself. It began to dawn upon him this first fact, that man is sinful. And as he came to himself, he said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I have sinned." Have you ever come to that point in your experience? Have you ever, as you have thought of your life, realized, "I have sinned"? You know, it is the verdict of heaven on each and every one of us without exception. The verdict of heaven is this: for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, God is holy. God's standard is perfection. God is just. He will not, he cannot overlook sin. And so sin has consequences. The shortfalls in our life, the times we have failed, the times we have disobeyed and broken the commandments of God, the times when we haven't even lived up to our own standards, God will hold us to account. The Bible says this: be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. To reach the end of life's journey, without having acknowledged and considered and come to understand this fact, that man is sinful, means that you meet God, the judge of all the earth, the God who knows all things, the God who will hold you to account. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so, as you face your biggest decision, the first fact you need to consider to be aware of is this: that man is sinful. And more than that, not just man, but I am sinful. Listen to and contemplate the confession of a thief who, having weighed up his life, confessed, "We receive the due reward of our deeds." But the message doesn't end there. The fact you need to consider doesn't stop with this: that man is sinful and man will be held to account and God will judge sin. The second fact we want to think of is this: that God is love. And we're going to think of the conviction of a fanatic. Again, if you have your Bible and want to read with me, we're going to read from the writings of the Apostle Paul. And we're going to read a short passage that he wrote to his young friend and associate Timothy. It's in the first letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, and it's in the first chapter. And Paul came to realize and understand that God is love. In another place, Paul would write this: the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. But let's read a few verses in 1 Timothy chapter 1, from verse 12 down to verse 16. And Paul writes this, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. The second fact that you need to consider as you make your biggest decision is this: God is love. Listen to the conviction of a fanatic. From 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the writer added this: of whom I am chief. Here was a man who had understood the first great fact, that man is sinful. He was very aware of his need. He considered himself the greatest of sinners. And yet, he came to know that God is love. And as you consider your biggest decision, the second great fact to think about is this: that God is love. Who is Christ Jesus? The one who came into the world to save sinners. He is the Son of God. Amazingly, he is the one to whom the dying sea spoke. On the cross, the center cross, the thief said, "We receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man, Christ Jesus, the Son of God, the one on the center cross, has done nothing amiss, nothing wrong." And yet, he was there on the center cross. Paul, previously known as Saul of Tarsus, was a religious fanatic. He was a strict Jew, violently opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ and his followers. We read that, did we not, at the beginning of our passage at verse 13, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. In another place it says of this man in Acts chapter 9, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Here was a man who was a fanatic. Here was a man who was violently opposed to the Christian message. And yet the day came when his convictions were turned on their heads, when he was brought face to face with the reality and the truth of the message that he had denied and opposed. For on the road to Damascus, the capital city of Syria, he met the risen Lord Jesus Christ, and nothing for him was ever the same again. He realized, yes, I am the chief of sinners. He realized that in the sight of God he was guilty. He was conscious that God would hold him to account. But more than that, he realized that the Son of God loved him and gave himself for him. He realized that Christ Jesus, the one whom he opposed, the one whom he was violently fighting against, was the one who had come into the world to save sinners. The second great fact you need to think about, you need to consider, you need to grasp is that God is love. The God against whom we have sinned and rebelled and disobeyed, the God whose commandments we have fallen short of, is the God who loves. And the one upon the center cross, none other than God's Son, the one who had done no wrong, the one who was perfect, had come to save sinners. The dying thief was aware. We receive the due reward of our deeds. But he also could see that the one on the center cross had done nothing wrong. No deeds that he had done deserved death. But Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You see, he died upon that cross, not for deeds that he had done, but for deeds that you and I have done. He was being punished, not like the dying thief. We receive the due reward of our deeds. He was dying. He was receiving the punishment that was due to others, that was due to you and due to me. So God, in love, sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world, to take the place of sinners like you and like me, to bear the judgment due for our sin. The Apostle Peter would say this: "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." What a wonderful fact to consider. What a wonderful fact to think about. What a wonderful fact to really grasp. God loves us. The Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Although I am a guilty sinner, God in love has prepared a way whereby we can be saved. And then finally, if we have thought of these two great facts, that man is sinful and yet God is love, the challenge is, you must decide. The message is being presented. The challenge of the gospel: man is sinful, God is love. But what are you going to do about it? You must decide. And we're going to think of the choice of a judge. Again, we'll just read a few verses, this time from Matthew and chapter 27. The Gospel of Matthew and chapter 27. We're back about the time of the cross. We're in the trial of the Lord Jesus. And we're going to find that the Roman judge that day was faced with a choice. For sake of time, we'll just read the key verse. The Lord Jesus had been brought before the Roman judge early that morning, that Passover morning. Pontius Pilate was his name. And as you read the verses, you'll see that Pilate tried everything in his power to avoid making the choice, to avoid making a decision. But when we come down to verse 22, we find that Pilate could not avoid, could not escape the choice, the decision he had. It was the biggest decision he would ever face in his life. It says at verse 22, Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor says, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. You must decide. What will your choice be? We have before us the choice of a judge. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, stood before him. He asked the question, what shall I do then with Jesus? This is your biggest decision. This is the decision that determines your eternal destiny, that determines heaven or hell. It is a decision that determines whether you know God in all His kindness and love, or whether you face Him as judge and know the wrath of God. If you read down through the story, you'll see that Pilate, as I said, tried many ways to absolve himself of the decision. He tried to send the Lord Jesus to another judge, but he was sent back. He tried to shift the decision to public opinion, and that failed. He tried to compromise the decision to make it a halfway house, but that too failed. He tried to absolve himself of this responsibility. We read it, did we not? He washed his hands. He said, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. However, try as he may, he could not escape the biggest decision. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? At the end of the day, his decision was made. The pressure of the crowd, the threat to his career, the risk of losing relationships with important people played upon his mind. He delivered him to be crucified. What about you? As we come to the end of our service this evening, what will I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? It is a personal decision. The decision cannot be made by your neighbour. The decision cannot be made by your family or your friends. It is a decision that you must face. What will I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Remember the appeal of Moses. He presented to the people life and death. His appeal was, choose life. Joshua, choose you this day whom ye will serve. I will serve the Lord. What about you? The facts you need for your biggest decision. Fact number one, man is sinful. Remember the confession of a thief. We receive the due reward of our deeds. Fact number two, God is love. The conviction of a fanatic. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then fact number three, you must decide. The choice of a judge. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?